Off the Ball, GAA.
The story out there was that they were the tough team, Tipperary. They were the team all the steel, because we were kind of the aristocrats, the team with all the skill.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball's Breakfast Bite, giving you a flavour of Ireland's sports breakfast show.
James Tracy, good morning to you. How are you?
Very good, yeah. Exciting weekend of rugby. It's pretty much, yeah, unfolded as we hoped it would. And, yeah, a good feeling this morning.
Very good, yeah.
Yeah.
You enjoyed Munster?
I did. I think that was the game of the weekend. It was class.
Big of you.
Yeah. Well, I told you I had my Munster jersey on underneath my Leinster jersey on the weekend.
Were you supporting Munster over Leinster?
Yeah, I said that. Okay. I said that last week that I will be.
Okay. And what excited you most about Munster?
What excited me most? I thought how, well, one, like their scramble defence was incredible, and that won them the game. I think the
start of the second half, even.
Oh yeah, incredible. But I also loved how for that drop goal, and I think we all love a drop goal deciding the game. But that was clearly a plan where they felt that if they either needed it to win the game or to give them a 2-score lead, they had this as something they practiced, because it was very evident that it was a set play. But it's all well and good doing it when you're running against, you know, pads, versus doing it on the big stage in the biggest moment. And that was very impressive. I think something I'm sure all the Munster fans are very excited about is the new exciting back three threat
that's
unearthed. Yeah, I think an amazing sign, and obviously he's been injured. I hope he's not injured again. He went off injured.
Tacker Abrahams.
Abrahams is top quality, and just gives a different look to that back three, doesn't he? Like, you know, any good scrum half will always play upfield. And for instance, Craig Casey said in his interview after the game that he'd earmarked that if there was going to be a break, that he would be on the inside. But he is always there, and he did well to finish it. But having that bit of electric pace, it's something we don't have a lot of in Irish rugby, and not a lot of teams have that X factor, and it's something very exciting for Munster fans going forward. If he's fit and playing, that you have this guy who can just create something out of nothing, and that can be the difference in big games.
You were excited about Andrew Smith, auntie, when the team was named. Like, Munster fans are going to love him. He got sin-binned. We had Anna Quinlan on yesterday. He thought it was very harsh, the decision. And then, of course, he scores the try. What do you make of him overall?
I thought he was class. He would have been someone that there was just such a backlog of players ahead of him, and answered. He never really got a go, but I loved everything about him. His attitude, he reminds me of like I said that to you, Ferg McFadden type player. Of just, he's got a real steely edge to him. He's you're always going to get like 100% effort out of him, but that's the, you know, the bit that you can't really teach, which I like about him. But he's also a very talented kid. I think he's another product of sevens going well and giving lads confidence. I think that was really good for his career, and you know, he's found a way now to get into a really good side and a really good club. And I'd be very excited if I was a Munster fan seeing that kind of new look back three.
It didn't look good after, how long was it, when La Rochelle went 7-0 up? So it wasn't until the 23rd minute there was a bit of a reprieve for Munster when West got binned. But up until that point, like, Teddy Thomas was having a blinder, and La Rochelle were attacking at will. And it didn't look like Munster were going to lose. It looked like it was going to be a painful day and a reminder of how far back Munster are. What do you think was the turning point beyond the obvious I just mentioned there, was West going off? And every time a player went off in that game, the other team scored a try. So is it more La Rochelle came down or Munster went up?
Oh, I think it was like quite, there was not much in it. And that was summed up by any time there was a man advantage, the other team did a really good job. But I think what Munster did unbelievably well was when they needed a big moment, whether it's from Tadhg Byrne, whether it's from their two props corner flagging and chasing across to spook Teddy Thomas to step back in. They won all of those little moments, and that's the difference at the very top end is kind of the intangible ones where it's just work rate, and then you've guys like Tadhg Byrne coming up with steals when you really need them, I thought their line out plan was really good. How they dealt with the La Rochelle threats around maul and set piece and controlling them into certain areas. You're never going to stop everything. They're a very, very good side, La Rochelle, and like two-time champions for a reason. But what an away day. There was the travelling support. Like, again, it's going to be tough to get everyone back over there for the next game. But I'd said a million times, Europe's just different. There's something special about it. And I think, you know, you as a Munster fan, there, you know, you feel that as well as a supporter, just as much as you do a player, and you do find another gear, and they found their why. There was plenty of kind of subplots going into that game, and great result for them.
Tommy understands. Tommy has to travel a lot, and he has to keep going all the time.
Tomás, good morning to you. Can I start to?
Morning, morning, Colm. Morning, Ger. How are you both?
Are you a Munster rugby fan now? Is that the?
To be honest, Ger, actually, I was always sort of a Munster rugby fan, even when, you know, I grew up in Meath and went to school in Monaghan. I don't know, there was just something about that Munster team in the 2000s. You know, I was 14, 15 in 2005, 6, 7. Do you know, like, they were just, I don't know.
Seminal.
The rivalry was brilliant. There were a little bit of the underdog thing with it. And then you had, you just had Rodge and O'Connell and these unbelievable characters. Like, so I was always drawn to Munster. That bit of stardust by Crowley at the weekend is probably what would drag you back in a little bit, you know? You just, you want someone like that to build a team around. You want, and I understand all the debates and the, I suppose, the nature of the kind of Prendergast and Crowley debate got a little silly this year, but there is something to it too, that you've got this player that you can build your team around and you can hang on to for the next couple of years.
Who was the player that sprinkled the magic stardust in the opening weekend of the championship? Was it Daryl Bwile?
Daryl Bwile certainly backed himself, and that's how we put it on the football pod last night. And it's going to be a big thing this year. Like, you know, we were talking last week about shipping off the opportunity if you're true on goal to somebody on your shoulder, if it's the right thing to do. And at the weekend, Daryl Bwile showed us that sometimes all you got to do is subtly just pretend you're going to slip it to your right. Give the keeper the eyes and slip it into the corner. He grabbed that game by the scruff of the neck, Colm. It was 5 points apiece after 26 minutes. Donegal, I put it to McGuinness, and we'll hear it in a couple of minutes. I felt they were lacking a bit of an injection there, a bit of pace. I think they thought they were going to win it regardless. They had such a powerful bench as well that if that game was close late on, you'd imagine they would have brought the bodies on to win it out. But he will not complain about the injection that Daryl Bwile brought to proceedings in the last 7 or 8 minutes of the half. Those two-pointers... just scream the fella who's in serious form and ready to do that. So you're right, yeah, probably did capture the attention. I thought Ben O'Carroll from Roscommon was very impressive. Who else impressed me across the weekend? From the Donegal backs, lads, Kieran Moore and Finbar Rorty. Oof. Properly get a look at these guys when you get a chance. They were absolutely sensational live the other day. Quietly so, but just so, so impressive. Moore was nominated for Young Footballer of the Year last year, and I'm looking forward to seeing where he goes this year.
Yeah, another player that's... impressed big time over the weekend, and no great surprise here, nothing new that we're learning, is Aidan O'Shea, but he started the year very impressively. His goal was talk about composure for the goal against Sligo at the weekend. I thought he took about 5 or 6 steps, but it was incredible the way he dropped the shoulder without doing much and sent about 3 Sligo players flying.
Yeah, steps are an issue in Gaelic football. I wouldn't really go too hard on Aidan for that one, but steps are an issue in general. It makes it so hard to tackle if a fella's getting an extra couple of steps on you. And we're actually seeing a lack of contact, a lack of turnovers in games. Certainly was the case in Derry and Donegal. It was a weird game. We'll come back to that in a minute. O'Shea, Colm, he's an unbelievable form. He's probably Mayo's best forward in the league final. He scored 3 points early on. But the bits that are standing out for me, and he's always provided it, is the leadership around the field. Like the kick-out marks that he got against Kerry in that league game in round 5. The mark at the end of the game against Sligo when it was a one-score game, and it shouldn't have been a one-score game. Niall Murphy's one-point effort was awarded as a two-pointer late on. And what Mayo had was just a leader coming up out of the skies to claim the ball and secure that last possession. So, yeah, O'Shea, very impressed with the weekend as well.
We'll be here.
Look at that. It's a kind of muted enough start to the football championship.
Well,
it's going to be nothing like the hurling championship when it kicks into gear in 2 weeks' time. But like, we know this.
What was the atmosphere like at the Donegal Derry game?
There was a serious buzz. Like, the Ballybuffet is a great town to have a game in. And you know, there was serious colour and noise and crack early on in Ballybuffet. Even 2 hours before the game, there were so many people about. I think they were just shy of a sellout. I think there was over 15,000 there. I was certainly told 15,000 and maybe the low hundreds early on in the first half. And it probably was just missing that little bit of extra bite that we might have got if Derry's league had been different, if Derry's mood had been different. They were coming in as total underdogs. And I feel like we've got to give a bit of credit to Derry here. I'd be interested to see what they look like in their first two games back in the round robin in 6-7 weeks' time. They're going to get a bit of time with Paddy Talley now to work on stuff, to maybe park some of the rubbish that they've been producing on and off the field over the last little while, and possibly get some of the bodies back as well. So, look, Derry did well, but Donegal, lads, they're an awesome prospect this year. They really, really are. Like, we saw Jason McGee come back on the field at the weekend. We didn't see Michael Angle. We didn't see Owen Bon Gallagher. Owen McHugh was back on the bench. Like, the depth in this Donegal side. Like, talk about the depth of Cork have in hurling.
Yeah.
Donegal's depth is absolutely sensation.
To listen to this morning's full Off the Ball breakfast, become a member at offtheball.com/join now.
Take a detour from the ordinary.
Owen, it's finally here. Your 10-part documentary, Diverted.
Took a long time.
It's time to get diverted.
This has taken too long, but finally glad that it's here.
Join Owen Sheehan as he brings you the conversations you didn't know you needed to hear.
It's like the content version of your eyes being bigger than your belly, or whenever it comes to food.
From the unexpected to the unforgettable, Diverted explores it all.
For some reason, I've decided to hitchhike through Argentina.
Irlanda.
Holanda.
Irlanda.
Irlanda.
Irlanda. See.
Available for free on all Off the Ball channels. Diverted on Off the Ball.